Now, how many times have I said it, and how many times have you said it, that our perception of time is all over the place because of the pandemic? You know, was it last week? Was it a month ago? Was it 2 months ago? And it's a scientific fact that our perception of time has been affected by lockdown. Dr. Ruth Ogden is an associate professor specialising in experimental psychology at Liverpool John Moores University, and she has studied our perception of time during COVID, and she's on the line now. How are you doing, Ruth?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Good to talk to you. Now, first talk to us a little bit generally about time and how we perceive it.
So we tend to perceive time, the idea is that we have some sort of clock in our brain, and this clock accumulates time as events go on, and we use this clock to judge how long things last for or how long we've been doing something for.
Right. And how good are we at it? How good are our brains?
Well, it depends on what we're judging. I mean, sometimes we can be very good. If we're focusing on time and we're judging a short duration, we can be pretty accurate. But it's very, very common for us to experience distortions to time, particularly as our emotions change and the activities that we perform change.
Okay. I remember learning years ago that we our perception as we live through it is different to our memory of it.
That's exactly right.
Right. Okay.
That's exactly right.
Will you explain that for our listeners?
So what we tend to find is that when we're looking back on our lives and we're thinking about how long something lasted for or how long we were doing something for, our brain almost does a little trick where it looks at how many memories we've formed. If we formed loads of new memories, then our brain assumes that we were doing this thing for a long time.
Okay.
If we've not formed very many memories, then our brain assumes we were doing something for a very short period of time. And normally that's probably quite a good rule for how long things have lasted for. But you can imagine that in the pandemic, where life is thrown upside down, this might not be such a good rule anymore because of the changes in what we've been doing.
Okay, so what have you found then about how the pandemic has affected our perception of time?
So we've looked at how the pandemic affects our perception of time in the UK, and we've looked at it in Argentina as well. What we found in both situations is that perception of time has been really influenced by the pandemic. So only 20% of the people that we surveyed reported experiencing a normal passage of time during the pandemic, so that time was experienced in the same way as before lockdown. About half of people who experienced distortion to time felt like it was passing more quickly than normal.
Okay.
And about half of people felt like it was passing more slowly than normal. And for me, that was the really surprising thing, because my lockdown experience with three children has been that there are more than 24 hours in the day. There's more like 240 hours in the day.
Yeah.
And that was what actually motivated me to do the study.
Okay.
Because I couldn't imagine that other people were experiencing
when is this
different.
Day going to be over? I hear what you're saying. I've been there. Yes. So 40% said slower than normal. 40% said faster than normal.
Yeah.
So then you have to find out why. Yes. Oh, why is this the case? Go on.
So this is it. So we wanted to, like, for me, I want a fast lockdown. So I want to understand what it is that makes lockdown fast and lockdown slow.
Okay.
And there are a few key things that popped out. So what we tended to find was that older people, particularly over 65, they were more likely to experience a slow lockdown. Now, obviously, there's not much we can do about our age, so that's possibly not that helpful for us if we want to speed up our lockdown. People who experienced a fast lockdown, though, one of the key things was that they were satisfied with social interaction. So the interactions they were having were bringing them joy and they felt fulfilled by them. The people who had a slow lockdown, they weren't socially satisfied.
Right.
It didn't matter how much social contact they had. It was really about how satisfied they were
the
with
quality
social contact.
Of...
It's the quality, not the quantity.
Right.
So there's no point in living with someone that you don't want to talk to. That's not going to help your lockdown.
Right.
It's much better to just see somebody occasionally who you love to spend time with, be it online or in person, depending on the rules, and that will help your lockdown to pass more quickly.
Aha, so it's the quality of social interactions that dictates our perception of time. Well,
in the lockdown,
yeah.
Definitely.
In the lockdown, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The other thing is, it's back to what we were talking about at the start, is like when you're waiting for something. Mm. You know, you're waiting in a doctor's surgery or something like that, and it seems time seems to slow down to like just an interminable pace. You know, that everything, you know, time expands. So yes. That it's like being on a treadmill. I say, if you want to expand time, go on a treadmill. You know,
most definitely.
You look at your watch, and it's only 2 minutes gone. And the other thing is that if you have a very busy day, the day seems to go like that.
So, yeah.
So will you explain that to us?
So what you're describing there is the effect of attention to time and temporal importance.
Right.
So sayings like time flies when you're having fun and time drags when you're bored, they're really true. We find that in our studies all the time. So when people are bored, time is very important to them. They're watching their clocks, they're looking at their watches because they want the period of boredom to be over. So that's like on the treadmill. If you're not enjoying it, all you want to do is get off, and you're looking at your watch to find out when you can get off.
Yeah.
Now, when we pay an abnormal amount of attention to time,
okay,
that makes it really slow down for us because normally we're just sort of monitoring time in the background. So then you get the reverse when you're happy, you're enjoying yourself, or when you're very busy, you don't have the capability to look at time. You're not interested in time because you've got other things to think about, and that helps time to pass very quickly.
Okay, I was interested to read that you say that we know we have a Monday feeling, we have a Tuesday feeling, we have a Wednesday feeling. Like today is Thursday, we're close to the weekend, so there's definite atmosphere, and that these things are important for us.
Yeah, I think they're really important. They're what I call temporal markers.
Right.
So I think if you think about people, we all like to think that we're very spontaneous, but actually most of us aren't. We live these incredibly routine lives. We go out at the same time every day. We eat at the same time every day. And we do the same things on set days. This is all before coronavirus, obviously.
Yes.
So you might have your yoga on a Tuesday. You might go to church on a Sunday. And all these activities, they tell us what day it is without us having to look at a calendar. So we know it's a Tuesday because we're doing Tuesday things.
Right.
But they also hold us in time in the day. So you can kind of know what time it is by how you're feeling and what you're doing. If you're a bit hungry, it's nearly lunchtime, things like that. Now, the coronavirus has blown that out the window. We don't need to get up at specific times. We don't do our hobbies on specific days because we can't do anything anymore.
Yes.
So we've really lost all the little cues in our life and markers in our life that help to keep us in time.
Can that have a detrimental effect on our mental health?
Well, I think that it almost certainly would do.
Right.
So in one of our more recent studies that we've done about the second lockdown in England, we found that one of the things that made the lockdown pass slowly was depression. And the higher someone's level of depression, the slower their lockdown was. So I think that when we've lost all our activities, when we've lost our routine, it increases our boredom, it increases our isolation. We've got more time to think about, you know, how unpleasant the situation is for many people. And that really contributes towards our mental health.
So what can people take from that then?
So I think that if you feel like you're struggling with losing track of what day it is, what time it is, or generally with your mental health, one of my top tips would be to try and create some structure for yourself. So try and create a routine within each day, but also across the days. Working from home makes it really hard to get that definition between the week and the weekend. They all merge into one.
Mm.
And it would be really good if people could try and say to themselves, well, my weekdays are going to be Mondays to Fridays. These are when I'm going to do work. At the weekend, I'm going to do different things so that I have that definition, so that I have that break in my life.
Yeah, and people will slag me off when I say this, but even dressing for work, even though you're at home, might be something. Because like I put on a certain, you know, clothes to come in here, and then when I go home, the first thing I do is take them off, and that makes me feel sort of lighter and better. That shouldn't be the case, but
it's a change of state, isn't it?
Yes,
that we sort of are the things that we dress ourselves as, and if we're in work mode, it would be nice to be wearing something different to when we're in relaxation mode. And that, again, helps.
So that's another thing, isn't it? That's another thing when you're working from home and you don't change.
Yes.
And then you're wearing the same thing during the week as you're at the weekend. So there's no demarcation.
And if you're anything like me and you have no spare capacity in your house, you're working on your sofa in your living room, and then you spend your evening on your sofa in your living room. So you don't even have the small change of scenery that you might have from working in a different room or going to the office or something like that.
It's fascinating.
Mm.
I'm fascinated. Do we have an area, a little part of our brain that deals with time?
So that's such a good question. And the answer is that we don't really know yet.
All right.
So there's loads of studies which have looked at which areas of the brain are responsible for time. And what we tend to find is that there's lots of areas that light up if we put people in a scanner when they're doing time perception tasks. I think if you think about time, you don't ever really experience it without something else. So you have to experience
unless you're on the cube. Unless you're on the other the other task on the cube where you have to, you know, you have to calculate 30 seconds and then press the big red button.
Well, exactly. Yeah, but so that person is probably thinking about something to enable them to time the 30 seconds. You're always experiencing time through an object or through a feeling or an interaction. So what we see in some studies is that the individual bits of the brain that are responsible for those activities are responsible for some time processing for those types of stimulus.
Yeah.
So it's very widespread. It's very diverse around the brain.
And we didn't even start talking about daylight and nighttime and all that sort of thing and how that affects your perception of time.
Yeah, so we have people who consider themselves to be morning people and some people who consider themselves to be night owls or evening people. And again, I think with this disruption to routine, all those things are going to add together to help to confuse us about what's going on with time.
Right, okay.
And I suppose the key question is whether this will return to normal when life gets back to normal. Will we feel more anchored in time?
Well, of course we will, but it'll be like a massive jet lag, won't it, for a while?
It will. Yeah.
So your advice, the top takeaway tip from this is put structure on your life if you don't have it.
Put structure in your life and try and maximise interaction with people that you love.
Okay, that's brilliant advice. Dr. Ruth Ogden, Associate Professor specialising in Experimental Psychology at Liverpool John Moores University. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye now.